So we got.
Excellent. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a conference that a number of us are engineering that have been associated with the webpage constitutionalgov.us. If you've got the capability of screen sharing, you can see our front page there. We're presently operating under, we're developing more focus. Things are kind of moving targets on us. And in this conference, we're operating under the title of the Supreme Court of Law for the United States of America, supremecourtoflaw.us. And there's a subdomain under constitutionalgov.us. You can see at the top web link there, too, if you want to go there.
The Supreme Court what?
Supreme Court of Law. We're looking forward to a web page that is supremecourtoflaw.us. In fact, I think I've got the domain name still. But right now, the only thing we've got there is the web link under constitutionalgov.us in the upper left column that is kind of a placeholder for that entity. And I'm gravitating towards it.
If I may?
Yes, Lewis.
We've got a caller that has joined us. Who has just joined us? Their last four digits of 5523.
Hi, Lewis. It's Brad from Massachusetts.
Oh, Brad. Greetings. Welcome. Okay, Charles. Thank you.
Okay. Sure.
How you?
And thanks for keeping on top of the new people coming in here, Lewis. So we're moving, probably embracing a new name and going to get the complete domain up and a lot of it files transferred over to a new domain called Supreme Court of Law. And that's generally the matrix, the rubric under which we wish to operate, because the present Supreme Court of the United States of America is not a court of law. It's a limited jurisdiction municipal tribunal. The forum of a Supreme Court of Law for our entire American people is open, and this is just kind of a pro tem claim to that authority of the people to responsibly self-govern through a court of law. But let me go ahead and do a quick prayer to open, unless there's any objections from anybody. I'll just keep it brief here. True God of the universe, God of Abraham, Yahweh Jehovah, please guide and direct this discussion. Please help us to advance your kingdom of truth and peace and justice on this earth. As Mr. Blackstone said, you yourself, the true God, Yahweh Jehovah, comply with these supreme laws of truth and justice. In that spirit, please guide and direct us so that we may carry on and manifest the objective truth and justice that is evident from your holy scriptures and of all sorts, including extra-biblical scriptures. There's a lot of ways that you have worked, but in a lot of ways we also recognize the profound influence of the Bible. But please guide us and direct us, keep us humble, keep us open to all people that have legitimate needs and desires, but help us also to filter out people who would disrupt from the dark side. And in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Yeshua, we humbly pray these things. Amen. We might jump on from that. I really like to, I'm optimistic that our numbers are going to triple or quadruple by the time the end of this conference is going here. So I do kind of like to take advantage of early stages of the conference to get acquainted with the people that are alert enough to be on time for the discussion. And part of it there is with Gary Burgess. I'm glad that you could attend, Gary. I know you were concerned about maybe having another duty to attend to, But we had a real excellent discussion that kind of summarized the high points of the insights that we're bringing to the community here in various radio show earlier today, 2 or 3 hours ago. Just briefly, I'd like to ask Gary if he thought that went well or if there's any particular ways that we could expand on some of the points that were touched on in the radio show even further here as we're developing. Gary, do you have any comments or questions of that nature?
Well, I think it was a good show. I just now, I'll make sure I have a platform for you to follow then, since you like to be guided.
All right. Well, feel free to jump in, and at that point, I'd like to, Abraham and Lewis and I are already quite familiar with each other, and I really think it's important to ask people that haven't been in such frequent conferences to just kind of step forward and ask questions like, what's this all about, what's going on, so anybody have questions or comments about what you've seen about what we're doing here or heard? Yes, anybody? I yield. No questions or comments? Are you unmuted?
Not yet.
Okay.
And I would simply ask and remind those that if you are not speaking, to please practice self-governance and mute yourselves by using *6. Or muting your phone. So, Frank, if you could be conscious of that. I think we've got a little bit of background noise coming from your line. I would ask those on the call, did everyone have an opportunity to review the email thoroughly and even take a look at either of the attachments, specifically starting with the brief outlaw of true constitutional law and organic hierarchies and I guess that would be my question. Yield for any feedback. This, by the way, group is more of a round table or open discussion, as opposed to a lecture. So it is about participation on tonight's call. So feel free to speak freely. With that, I yield.
Yes, thank you, Lewis.
I would like to. I've not received any email because I'm new. I was just given your number a little bit ago, and I'm excited to find out more. And I want to participate, and would like to hear hear and see what's going on, because I'm in the district right now where I could use the guide myself.
Okay.
What was your name, sir?
Frank D'Amato.
Say that again. Oh, okay, Frank. Thank you.
Family name not necessary. Frank would be sufficient. Frank is enough. That's Frank on Oregon.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have the hard copies. Lewis, can you shift the screen sharing over to the organizing under Supreme Court of Law, organizing the townships and the precincts, the How to Build Self-Governing Communities document?
I'm trying to get online with that, and it's not letting me. The screen is unavailable. Supreme Court of Law. I'm Googling it.
Okay, a couple of things. First, Charles. Was that particular document included in the email? I don't see that one.
Yes.
So I'll just have to...
There you got it on the screen. Notice of formation of responsibly self-governing communities.
Okay, yeah, and Frank, there was one other thing that you were just stating, Frank. You were trying to locate what online?
Supreme Court law.
Okay, that's not the... go ahead, Charles.
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah. Best to go to constitutionalgov.us first. That's where we're presently confined. That's constitutionalgov.us.
I'm sorry. The constitutional, all one word, law?
Yeah.
Constitutional law?
No, constitutional, gov, .us. You'll see a color-coded map of the United States. Constitutional.gov.us.
Now I have all kinds of selections to choose from.
I'm sorry, Frank, we're having a bit of difficulty hearing you.
Organic divisions? Constitutional government?
Yeah.
Organic or constitutional government? Okay, I got it. Oh.
Okay, now, on those right. Screen sharing, I'm going to go back over to the PDF that Charles wanted me to bring on screen.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Andrew from Michigan.
Yes.
Greetings, Andrew. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Our document discussing the formation of responsibly self-governing communities, as shown on the screen sharing, is available through the web page, too. So you can look at the whole PDF if you want to open that link, if you've got a connection to the web page there. But this document is 15 pages, and it's supported by another document of about 18 pages that contains the citations that support the argument and the reasoning that is presented in this document. And they're under, I'd like to briefly describe that there's a lot of groups that are active in these areas that I believe they're basically trying to do good work, but these are what we're doing here. We don't want to be in competition with those other groups, and especially when we talk about organizing from the grassroots level up, the other groups that are involved here should be able to embrace this. And it's important here to comprehend how the counties work. And a lot of people have got their own ideas about what a county is. A county is merely an assembly of precincts, okay? It's not a self-governing entity all by itself. It's composed of smaller communities of self-governing entities. And with all due respect to the leadership of the other groups, they don't seem to comprehend that when they're putting together their county assemblies, their county governing bodies. And it divides even further because each of those precincts is in turn divided down smaller communities into the 10 household townships. And so if any of the other groups, you know, they don't have to be deferring to Charles Stewart or the people that I'm working with here. They can do this themselves. This is open source information. It's like how to build a handgun or a motorcycle or something. There's no patents or copyrights on this technology, and anybody can use it to empower their own community people. And it's solid in common law tradition, and it's solid in biblical Torah law tradition. So, again, we're not trying to compete with the other groups, but we are raising the bar here, and we're showing people how to organize these smaller communities and in areas where the de factos are seriously conflicted with us. And they're doing it even worse with this coronavirus thing. The powers that be are scheming to lock down a totalitarian military police state. I don't think it's unreasonable to infer that from the evidence that we're seeing here. And so in a lot of areas, people's rights are being infringed right now, and a lot of the other groups are talking about just raising more numbers before we can do anything. We're not of that category here. People that are willing to step into the office of a town constable, I personally am willing to certify on my honor that if I believe they're qualified electors, they've signed the proper forms, and they've convinced me of their honorable character, I will certify you as a town constable peace officer. You've got the right to pack a badge and a gun. Once you've got this kind of certification, and at an even higher level, a more important level, the precinct level, justice of the peace, you've got the right to basically the power of the Sixth Amendment, where you've got the right to hold criminal trials, assemble juries of your own in your own local precinct level, or even higher. And this is serious grassroots empowerment here and now to confront the de factos more powerfully. When they're trying to do forced vaccinations or something like that, that they're talking about, Bill Gates is talking about that kind of stuff, and we need to have lawful authority to resist it. See, right now we don't have anybody in lawful authority position to say, no, you can't do that. We got a jury trial verdict saying there is no real danger to our community from any coronavirus. You can go out and do that to other communities if they don't have a similar process in place, but you can't do it in this community. That's the kind of grassroots empowerment that we need to be gearing for, and it's about more than just the coronavirus things. It's about IRS. It's about Second Amendment rights. It's about a multitude of issues. CPS taking kids and stuff. We're seriously empowering patriotic Americans at the grassroots level through the technology that we're bringing to the table, to the patriot community. And I kind of outlined that a little bit in Gary's conference here earlier today, the Nevada area radio show. We got the word out real good there. But through conferences like this, this can spread out even wider and broader. And we're looking to raise the bar. We invite other groups, respected groups, communities, to join with us in seriously empowering our grassroots patriotic Americans, responsible Americans. We don't want to be in competition with you, but we're moving in this direction, and we're looking for people that are willing to stand up and speak out against the corruption instead of just waiting around for big numbers to come together or something. So that's kind of a good introductory rant, I think, for the moment. Questions, comments, I yield.
Yeah, this is John in Florida, if I may.
Hi, John, hi, good to hear you.
Yeah. Hey, Charles, yeah, I got on late, but a couple questions. One is that last week you mentioned that you were going to be getting with Destry this past Monday, I think it was, to discuss an integration between your efforts here and the National Assembly. And then another question I had was that you're mentioning the opportunity for the people to have an assembly at a smaller than a county size in terms of a precinct. That's something that's I haven't been educated on, but I have a question about the precinct. How is the precinct defined? In other words, who determines what the borders of the precinct are? And with that, I yield those two questions. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Let me take the last one first. It's freshest in my mind. I might have to have you remind me of the first one. The precinct, the municipal government of the county has already drawn lines in the county maps that define the precincts, and those can be modified by the members of each of the precincts, but for the time being, while we're just looking to fill vacant offices, I do believe it's simple to just go with what the county de facto government is already recognizing as geographical boundaries or precincts. So if there's a patriot that wants to become seriously empowered for himself and his neighbors, he can move into the office of Justice of the Peace that's presently vacant for his precinct there. There's some fuzzy noise background there. Is somebody mute out, please? The precinct is basically 100 court. Can somebody mute out? Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the precinct is a political subdivision of the county, and that's a key phrase, political subdivision. And they're already well mapped out, John. I forget what county you're in there in Florida, but I'm sure your county has precincts already mapped out. And at that point, the Office of the Justice of the Peace, the judicial officer for that precinct, is 99% likely vacant. And anybody can jump in there and take it. And at that point, you got a real powerful position to deal with city or county people and courts. I hope that answers your question. If not, maybe we can do a follow-up here or shift to your other issue. John?
Thank you, Marvin.
That explains it pretty well. I can research that online. Other question was about your meeting with Destry and trying to integrate these two efforts.
Yes, thank you for the refresher. Yes, Destry and Paul and I did have a very pleasant discussion that lasted 2 hours and 40 minutes, but it wasn't on Monday evening. It was Tuesday evening. I goofed up on Monday and we weren't able to complete the call. The quick bottom line for all of that was Destry and Paul seem to recognize that there's a lot of legitimacy to the research that we're bringing to the table here. And Paul specifically said that he looks forward to the point in time where we can merge together. He referred to it, what I've got, we're bringing forward here as mortar, and that they've got bricks, and that there'll come a time in the future where the bricks that they're forming will start to be moved together into a single entity with the mortar that the research that I'm talking about here is bringing it all together. I promise to try to keep my choice of words down on especially the earlier sections of the National Assembly conferences so that I'm not creating dissent there. They were a little bit worried about that. Abraham and I attended again this Thursday, and there was no objections voiced by Destry or Paul to the manner that we're interacting. So I'm really optimistic that we're going to be able to work together. But we kind of had an agreement to disagree there on what's prioritized, because I'm focused on serious grassroots empowerment now, and Destry and Paul are looking to build numbers and get things in place before they can do any serious grassroots empowerment. I hope that answers your question, John.
Yes, it does. Thanks very much, Charles, and I yield again. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, John, if I may.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Okay, just very, very quickly, because I didn't want to interrupt while you were on your train of thought earlier. We've been joined by a couple of people, and we just wanted to have you introduce yourself and with your first name and state that you're calling from. Last four digits, 7555. Greetings.
Yes. Hey, everybody. This is Mike in South Florida, Charlotte County.
All right, Mike. Greetings and welcome, Mike. And we've also been joined on the computer as well. I appreciate that with your screen sharing. I'm showing Scott. Greetings. Scott, you want to identify? Yep, we can hear you now. Go ahead. Scott, Okay, perhaps I'm at an AOL.com domain. Okay, Scott, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute you and unmute you since you've muted yourself, and we do appreciate that, just to let you know that you are the one that I'm addressing. Actually, it won't allow me. If you've muted yourself, I can't unmute you. So you would need to unmute yourself. Scott, you would need to unmute yourself. There you are. Now we hear you. Greetings.
So you didn't hear anything I said all that time?
Were you talking?
Yeah, I was. You didn't hear none of that?
No one heard a word that you said. This is the first time that we're hearing you. Greetings. So where are you calling from?
This is Scott from New York. I used to be on Charles's calls years ago. It's good to hear that he's back on. I've been on. I got on about 6 minutes late.
You're a bit distant, Scott. Can you perhaps talk directly into your receiver? You're just kind of low in volume.
Yeah, I'm talking into a singing microphone. It's better than nothing. I have no camera at all hooked up. But they were able to hear me in the Zoom rooms.
No, we can hear you. You're just a little low, but that's fine.
Okay,
we've got...
I will add one more thing while I'm on the mic. Has anybody heard? I'm sure Abraham's got to know. Have you seen what Ken Scott is revealing, what's going on with Lotus, Rex, and Justice the last couple of days? I don't hear anything. So nobody knows what's
going on.
Well,
what we want to do before we do an open floor, Scott, let's try to just stay on topic with what Charles has discussed thus far and anything that's along those lines as opposed to... you know, that specific question for Abraham. Let's hold that, though. We may have some time at the end of the call to do an open floor, and if so, you know, bring it back at that time. There may be others that know something about that as well.
I won't mention anything else, but it's going on right now, and it has to do with everyone on the call. Everybody look into it. It's that simple. I'll post a link if you would like in the chat.
Okay. I'd appreciate that. Go ahead. Post it in chat for everyone.
It concerns everybody on the call. Some things she's been doing since 1997, and it's going to just get exposed now. It's big stuff. You're all going to love it, okay? I promise. Okay? Peace.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. And then lastly, before I yield the floor, Charles, a couple of things that you might want to touch on. The power of the jury verdict, not necessarily the grand jury, but simply the jury verdict, and also touch on the discussed townships. I think there was one that said that they were not, that might have been John, familiar with building, you know, smaller than, in smaller units or body politic than the county level. So you might want to discuss townships and the jury verdicts. With that, I yield. Open floor
Thank
as
you,
well
Lewis.
For any other questions for Charles.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lewis. Your moderating is excellent. And Scotty, yes, I would like to revisit what you're talking about later in the conference after we cover some basics here. I know Lotus Justice. I know she does some important work. Mike from Florida, we talked in the National Assembly conference here this Thursday, and you're doing some profound activism that I think probably a majority of the people on this conference are not aware of. And I'm really anxious to share with you some of the insights that we've developed here, because I believe that will assist you in the heroic work that it looks like you're doing there in Florida. Could you give a brief overview sketch of what you're doing there in Florida? And then maybe we can talk a little bit about what might be done to empower you to advance your work even further.
Yeah, what we've been doing for several months is reaching out to people in about a 3-county area, adjacent counties to Charlotte, and we've been holding meetings, basically a town hall forum type meeting. We're assembled and we, hear from the group, and we have several different people with different, complaints and problems, and they want remedy. They want to do something about it. And 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday at the last county commission meeting, we gathered quite a few of us in the county commission chambers during the committee meetings, and we were able to pressure them to not mandate a mask ordinance. They had originally planned to pass it, and we were able to persuade them not to. It was a 3-2 vote, and we were real happy with that. However, they are going to revisit the issue, and it's probably going to come up next Tuesday. And we also had a standoff with the local sheriff and some of his deputies and the county attorney. They tried to stop me, myself, and another gentleman from recording video inside the administration building, and we refused. And just at that time, the sheriff had entered the building, and we confronted him about what his deputies and the county attorney were trying to do, and he disagreed with it and told us that we did not have to stop recording. And we captured this all on video, which, you know, we will be publishing it in the very near future. But several people have been either arrested or also charges brought against for doing the very same thing. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens. I yield.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Yes, I think the key takeaway there was the county attorney and the council were inclined to block your ability to videotape there, and you convinced the sheriff to allow you to do the videotape, and he went in and confronted the county attorney and the council there, and told them that he's not going to enforce their mandate that you stop recording. Isn't that basically how it went down?
Yeah, that's exactly how it went down. And they had a little meeting in the corner, and deputies surrounded them and kept our cameras and our recording devices from capturing the little meeting. But after that, they walked back to an office in the back of the administration building and had a secret meeting. Pardon me. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Was that a city meeting or a county meeting?
excuse me, I got to get a drink of water. That was a county commission meeting.
Excellent.
Pardon me? Abraham. Nevada. Yeah, that was Mike in Florida, wasn't it?
Yes, Mike in Florida, yep.
Yeah, Mike, you mentioned last time when I was speaking with you on a group conference that you had a building that can house, 1,000 people in some sort of large physical presence conference? What was the size of that audience that you could handle?
Yeah, we've had up to about 60 to 70 people at the most. And then the way we do it, we've invited people during the meeting to stay if they would like to attend the assembly meeting or the town hall meeting. And so,
what's the capacity of the building?
Well, the capacity is 1,000. It's quite a facility. It's called an event center, and the owner of the
building. And you control it? You control it?
No, the owner has provided it to us free of charge to use.
Exclusive use?
So, yes, for our use.
Okay. Is there any way you could get Patriots to come down on the circuit so it could become like a brain center, a brainstorming center where we can start to map out strategies? Because that might end up being an anchor point for the entire nation.
Well, that's exactly what we hope to do. You know, there's a variety of ways we can do it, but he's very energized, and we'll be returning to the the area on August the 11th is our next meeting. He's currently on vacation, him and his wife, and they're up in Tennessee.
Does this facility have accommodations, like if somebody was to stay there for a weekend?
They have a big field out back and a big parking lot, and there would be no problem, I'm sure, with, you know, campers and that sort of thing, yeah.
So you could have an entire weekend of event with thousands of people and guest speakers, and you could probably represent all the states there.
Yeah, we, you know, the building would hold 1,000. The parking lot is, I would say, about an acre, maybe acre and a half. And then there's about a half acre of grassy field. So
we could throw up makeshift tents and have some kind of a makeshift accommodation.
Yeah, as long as he would permit that, I'm sure he would. He seems very
well. If
open.
He thought everything was integral and everything was motivated and properly inspired and, excuse the word, kosher.
Right.
Right.
May I, Abraham? The physical use of that building is a real enchanting option, yes. But, Michael, I believe for the here and now, you've also got a national web page, don't you? I think you gave that web address before, but I wasn't near where I could write it down. Can you give your national group web page so that people can kind of look at what you're doing and maybe contact you and your group members through that?
Okay. Yeah, we have two sites. The first is UnitedCountiesOfAmerica.com. And that's a basic blueprint. There is some content there, a specific article regarding the University of Alaska, regarding the crime of 9/11. They have recently come out publicly and declared that it was an organized event, a demolition. And this is coming from the University of Alaska. That article is on that website. And we also have National Emergency Declaration published on that website, multiple pages. There's emails at the end of that, that anyone, if they would like to contact us. Then the other website we have is regarding the military. It's called militaryalert.org, militaryalert.org. And it's all about alerting the military and how their fellow officers who are whistleblowers to the crime of 9/11, we have felt for a very long time, and it's starting to gain traction, that 9/11 can be a real catalyst to wake up you know, the American people to the tyranny that has overtaken our country. It might have happened 20 years ago, but there is great activity going on in four different courts. And they might be de facto courts, but there is traction, and there are 3,200 architects and engineers that are pushing for a criminal grand jury, along with 300 military officers. And on that website, militaryalert.org, you can read all the various officers and CIA, FBI, and NSA agents that are also whistleblowers. So it's... We would like to use the crime of 9/11 as a triggering device to wake up the American people. I yield. Thank you.
That's excellent. You're bringing a lot to the table. I do hope you'll stay in close contact with us. I believe we've got a whole lot in common in our agendas here. And yeah, you're bringing a lot to the table, Michael. I do appreciate your work.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Lewis, how's our community? Are more people coming in? Anybody we need to introduce?
We have been joined by a few. There are numbers that we recognize. We, I think, have been joined by Kamala of Michigan while you were talking, and Nancy, we've had some people that have difficulties dialing in, so I've had to add Nancy to my line as well, also of Michigan.
Okay. Would anybody else like the floor about current issues that are happening similar to Michael there? I'm sure eventually we'll get to Scotty's concern with Lotus Justice, but anybody else that's got issues related to local community organizing or efforts or anything general like that, anybody?
Are there any groups here in Oregon, in the Portland area?
I imagine the Beacon 37 group as well as the National Assembly group have chapters in Oregon.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. What Michael described here, the confronting the de factos and making them back off on the camera and the face masks and things there in the county level in Florida. I'd like to briefly give my ideas about how the effort there might be more empowered. I think Michael indicated that he had a group of people with him. I think he said 60 or 70 at one point. But anyway, even if it's smaller than that, if we discussed this in the National Assembly call towards the end. I'm sure Michael remembers me talking about the precincts and how the precincts are the political subdivision of the county. That means that the authority for the existence of the county, it comes from the grassroots up, from the precincts. And that means that whoever is in the vacant office of the chief officer of that precinct is a member of the governing body of the county, because the chief officer of the lower level of the political subdivisions is automatically a delegate to the assembly at the higher level. This is how the whole biblical model of the 144,000 and its logical implications for even larger numbers manifests, is that the elected leader in each of the political subdivisions, that leader goes up to the next level to form the quick and efficient, lean and mean assembly, groups of 10s or 12s, never goes over 12, to quickly and efficiently build consensus about keeping the peace and law and order and justice within each of their political jurisdictions. And so, I like I talked with Gary's radio show earlier, that when you talk to attorneys and judicial officers and county commissioners about these kind of things, if you can come up to speed on it and learn the vocabulary kind of, their eyes start glazing over. They become in denial because they've heard about how that they're not a real legitimate government, and that the people might someday get their act together to really contest them for power. But they never really believed that we could do it. They never figured that we'd be smart enough to figure it out. They think that they can continue treating us like slaves forever. And so when you start talking this way in front of county commissioners or judicial officers, the attorneys and the judges, their eyes will start glazing over because they'll be in denial. They can't mentally process it, and they frequently get judges get up and walk off the bench. Maybe a few of you've seen that happen before. They will evade, they will back up, they will backpedal, and this is the exact juncture where we need them, because their form of government is Roman Empire, top down authoritarian, municipal, and if we've got, like at a county level, if you've got 10 precinct captains that don't have to be skilled, they just have to be placeholders, and at least one of you is skilled in understanding the vocabulary and can do the talking, and the other nine just say, yeah, I'm with him, I support him, and at that point you're a united voice. And if you got somebody with the vocabulary to talk this way to the leadership, the county attorney, the sheriff, the prosecuting attorney, the commissioners, then you can put them in checkmate. You can make them back off. I've talked to probably close to 100 de facto county commissioners and corporate judicial officers and stuff like that, and they always retreat. They have no answer for this because they are de facto, they are provisional, they are illegitimate, and they're milking it for all that it's worth. So they're emotionally attached to it. But when we come in and we start talking about how these precinct level offices are vacant and we're moving into them, and we think that we've got the right to restructure our system of county government and our system of city government, in the manners described in the documents that Lewis has got on the screen sharing right now. You see, it's all put into the documents. All you got to do is reference the documents and send them to your county commissioners and your sheriff and everybody in these positions, and then ask them, as the documents conclude, if you have any objection to this, please notify us in a timely manner. They don't want to talk to you about these things, so you'll have to confront them, and when you do, you need to be prepared for taking the reins of power, taking control of the treasury of the county or the city there or whatever the jurisdiction is, and to start barking orders at the county clerk, telling her what she needs to do if she's going to continue to serve the people of the county. And so it's a ripe plum. It's ready to fall. And it sounds like Michael there in Florida has already shaken the tree seriously. He just don't quite have the combination yet to actually seriously empower the people and start bringing about some significant positive long-term changes in that county. So at that juncture, I'd like to hear from Michael or anybody that might have comments or questions on what I just rambled about there a little bit. I yield.
John, Florida, if I may.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, hello again, Charles. You mentioned precincts earlier, so I looked up precinct in Sarasota County where I am, and I've identified the precinct where my home is located. So I'm interested in learning about this from step one onward, so that perhaps maybe by springtime next year I'll have this whole thing organized. One of the problems is that I leave for many months during the warmest part of the year in Florida, so I won't be back until December, so that will give me some, I don't know, 2 or 3 months to get things together to get this precinct organized. So can you suggest a place where I can get started to learn about this?
The web link's in the email there. Lewis, did you want to describe some details here?
Well, actually, I just pulled up one of the documents from your website. It doesn't look like I'm sharing it, though. I have to...
Charles, he can speak to you anytime he wants. If he has any questions, he can speak to you directly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But a whole lot of those questions would be answered if you could get a hold of some of the documents that were web-linked in the outgoing invitation to the conference here, John.
Yep.
And also one that was not. Charles, would you think that this one that I'm now screen sharing might be beneficial to either John and Mike there as well? This is something that was on their Institute of website. Is this something that's pertinent right now?
Yeah, that's how to really organize at the grassroots level, and that wouldn't really be enough to do serious confrontation against county commissioners because that doesn't reference the precincts a whole lot. But for people that are just like to do things slow and steady and not be real confrontational, that organizing at the township level is where the grassroots real empowerment's at. And That's an excellent introductory document also that does describe the basic process from the grassroots up, yes.
Okay, I don't see that. I'm not on the screen sharing.
Okay, then, okay. Well, did you receive the invite?
Yes, I have it in front of me. I have, there was like five links or so.
Those are the links that Charles is referencing.
Yeah.
I'm putting the attaching file in the chat to the other, for the file that I was just sharing. I'm attaching that file.
Frank from Morgan, what website is that again?
Charles.
Which website do I go to find this stuff?
That would be the website. Go ahead, Charles.
Constitutionalgov.us. It's in the invite. If you look at the invite, maybe some people didn't get the invitation, but the web links to...
You got to tell me your connection is not private. I think constitutionalgov.us. It won't let me in.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
No.
Let me speak to that, if I may, Charles, and I'll turn this over. What you might be seeing, and for those that can screen share, I'm going to open up a private window, and I'm going to paste that link. And it didn't do it. I'm going to open up a different browser. You're seeing a warning. You're seeing a security warning because of the certificates being outdated. There is no security issue. This website is Charles Stewart's website. It's simply that the security certificates, which you pay for whatever reason with this host, have expired. So you can hit advance and go beyond that. I was opening up attempting to open it up in another browser just so everyone could see that, what it would look like. Okay, there we are. Some of you may see this. Your connection is not private. Attackers might be trying to steal your information, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
I'm then going to click Advance, okay, and then I'm going to click Proceed to Constitutional.gov. And they say it's unsafe. However, I know the owner of the website, and I know that there's no malicious software or whatever that's going to be downloaded here. So I go right, I hit that. Now I've got access to the site and anything on it.
No, I got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Charles, it's Abraham, if I may.
I was feeling left out, you know.
Okay, and who was that? Not seeing who was that? If I may,
Frank.
Abraham, Nevada. I would like to say the fellow who was just asking the questions about how did you get familiar with the precincts there locally, Charles. If it would be highly advisable to extend him your phone number and have him call you directly with any information or questions and answers that you may be able to provide him with specific targeted strategy. I don't see anything that would be a reservation behind that.
Joe, okay, included his phone number in the email invite. We don't need to mention that on this recorded call unless he chooses to do so. But I think at the conclusion of the email invite, Joe included all of his contact information.
Yes, this is John again, Florida. And I do have that contact information, so that's a good suggestion. I can contact Charles. I do have the website up, though, now, Charles, and I clicked on the link, Organizing Townships and Precincts. So
yes.
Then when I open that up, there's an index of organizing, a bunch of links there, okay? So I can start there and start my learning process. Thank you.
Yeah, I would, if I were in your position there, I would prioritize the links in the email, copy and paste them into the browser, because there's a lot of stuff in some of those directories, and the more important documents are linked through the current email invitation that we sent out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can do that. Thanks.
All right. Others? Floor's open.
Abraham, Charles, go ahead, Abraham. You got the floor.
So, Charles, let's see if we get this right. The fella in Florida, is that Mike?
Well, there's two of them. John was in Florida also, but Mike was the one in Charlotte County.
Is Mike the one that confronted in the courtroom with the cameras?
Yes.
Yes.
So let's say Mike had, three or four justices of the peace, half a dozen town constables, and perhaps maybe a couple of hundred community members support as qualified electors. He literally could step into his county position and take over complete control over the levers of government and be the authorized jurisdiction of that local township or that location. Is that right?
You would need 10 precinct representatives, he would have lawful authority to do that, but in terms of prudence and diplomacy, it would be good to move slowly and get the county attorney and the sheriff and the commissioners to start babbling like idiots before you start confronting them directly like that. And it should be quite easy to get them to either start babbling like idiots or else get them to back off and assimilate. Maybe they would like to assume some of the positions of the precinct. See, that would be non-traumatic to them. It's really important to try to be as non-traumatic as we can with converting from municipal Roman jurisdiction to Anglo-American common law jurisdiction. And by inviting county commissioners and the sheriff and the prosecuting attorney and others to fill their precinct captain jurisdiction from their own precincts, then at that point they're automatically a member of the county assembly in common law jurisdiction. They just get to change hats, and a few more people from the grassroots come in and we all work on consensus to talk about what's best for the people through coming up through the precincts being lawfully organized to administer justice and have their own executive department instead of depending on the top-down authoritarian model that the Roman system is providing for.
Okay, Charles, me and you have spoke about several strategies over the years about how to step in and take full control over a township. And I think the schematic, the diagram, the DNA, the model for which that needs to take place has to be the single most important focus of every one of these conferences, because anything outside of that is an absolute waste of time. What it would take to get into the most expedient position possible so that we have lawful jurisdiction, the numbers to enforce it, the authority, the regulations and the rules all cited perfectly and presented so that we could step in and take power on all these local levels across the country as quickly as possible. Any conversation outside of that, as far as I'm concerned, is an absolute waste of time.
If I might build on that a little bit, in the National Assembly conference here recently towards the end, we talked about the issue of a hologram. And see, it's the same basic process. The qualified electors form the township, the town council, and they elect their town constable, who's their leader. And the at that point, 10 town constables that are elected by similar authority come together to form the precinct at the next level. And so it's like a hologram that repeats itself. At each larger jurisdiction, it's all consensus-based. There has to be agreement from each of the constituents in each of the body politic, and then the leader of that body politic community has authority to carry his delegation of authority as the constituent member of the next level of the higher level of the organic body politic. And so it's similar to a hologram, if people know what that is, where it's an electronic restructuring of the same image at the smaller level to the larger level. It's similar to the DNA code. You can clone an entire human being, theoretically, out of the DNA code in your little toe. Because all it's got an imperfect DNA code of what your entire biology is all about. So it's a simple principle. And once you comprehend the concepts and how the hierarchies are arranged in combinations of 10s and 12s, like the 144,000 out of the Bible, then you've got a general overview of the program, and even the simplest farmer type of guy that if he can take the time to contemplate what this is and figure out the basic principles, he can be one like a DVD or something, electronic copy of the information of the DNA code, and at that point the ideas will spread faster than the bad guys can stomp it out. It can if they take me out, if they take out everybody that I'm working with. Once these ideas are out, they should spread like wildfire because they're rock solid in law. They reach back to biblical Torah law 3,400 years ago. They're part of our constitutional common law tradition, as the Sixth and Seventh Amendment solidly affirm. The fruit is ripe for the plucking here, ladies and gentlemen. All we need to do is get our people organized, because we've got the authority to dismantle the municipal governments of the counties and cities painlessly and invite the de facto officers therein to become de jure organic common law jurisdiction officers. See, that'll be non-traumatic if we're inviting them in. And if they go, no, you're all a bunch of kooks, we're going to resist you, well, then we're going to have to gear for the confrontation, and our town constables will talk with your lawyers about the proper jurisdiction of our town constables, because there's probably going to be at least a few people that might have to be forcibly removed from office, and that's where the rubber's really going to meet the road, because a lot of them are addicted to the power that they've currently got, and that's probably going to be a conflict, but at the same time, a lot of them are more open-minded and good-hearted. So I'm really optimistic that we can make a lot of progress real quick with these new technologies that we're bringing to the table. I yield.
Thank you for that, Charles, and if I may. Greetings. Who's just joined us? Last four digits of the number are 6318.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Charlotte County, Florida.
Greetings, Cynthia, and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. I really, go ahead, please. Yes.
This is Mike in Florida. Charles, I just heard you mention about some office holders may have to be removed forcibly, and I would like some clarification on that for obvious reasons. Could you elaborate on that? I'm sure that we're talking lawfully removing people, but just for the record, I would like you to clarify. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, that is an important point. The individual scenario case we would want to be in council with all of our activists in the community, and I'm not in Florida, but I can be assisting in, if you wanted to focus right there in Charlotte County in Florida, I can be on the phone helping you, but without knowing the players and what office they hold, if it's county prosecuting attorney or general county council or the sheriff or where the problem area might be, and what the proclivities are, you know, is he deeply entrenched or just cut? There's different things that can be brought to bear. But to the first steps in this is the documents that I've constructed on the web pages and that are linked through the email invitation. The second document is a constructive notice of treason, and that goes into the details of the Roman Empire municipal form of government that they're all operating under. And so once you present that kind of a document to them, that explains in idiot proof manners how their present jurisdiction is unlawful and that they've got duties to convert to the common law jurisdiction that's explained in the next document or one after it, in the invitation there that's web linked, that about how to form responsibly self-governing communities. That shows how to organize the county, and the precincts. And so the first step is to present that kind of data to them. And then you open the conversation by following up and saying things like, did you get a chance to review the documents? Do you see any errors in the documents? Please correct us if we're error. Both of the documents reference wording like that. And they might come up with some things. There might be some minor errors. There's nothing significant, I'm quite sure. And so at that point, you're opening communication, and if they just sit, the communication is where it all turns, and if in the situation where it might lead to removal from office, the only way that they would you'd have to build off of the documents enough to back them into the corner where they finally admit that they have no real objection to what's said in the documents or right close to that. And at that point, it would come down to whether or not they've got a good faith argument for resisting what you're trying to do. And essentially, you would hold county court right there to decide whether or not they are the lawful authority for the office that they're holding in the county. And assemble a jury right there to decide it, and have the hearing. And if they refuse to step down, even after a jury has adjudicated that they're in error, the law really works the way the documents explain, then at that point you would be very, very, very well positioned to move with whatever force is necessary to remove them from office.
Okay, that's, if I may, I'd like to interject at that point. Remove them with whatever force necessary at that point. That's where I'm concerned for clarification. We got to be very careful when we talk about this type of activity, removing someone from office by force. The problem.
Doesn't it state that in their own statutes that when they violate their own code of ethics, their own code of law, and they are deemed to be treasonous, they get hung in the town square? If their own rules and regulations say that.
I'm not sure what the Florida Constitution says, but treason is a very serious crime, and I do believe it's the punishment at the federal level is death, but. We're talking at the county level, and I'm just asking for clarification here. This is a very serious matter, what we're talking about, and I just am wanting to make sure that, we're being lawful in our actions and in any kind of strategy we would like to draft forward with. So, I guess at the bottom line in all of our activities, enforcement is the problem. We have the law on our side. There's no doubt about that. But getting them to obey it is another question and issue that we need to deal with, and that's the problem. There have been so many acts of sedition, treason, tyranny over the years since, Randy Weaver, and even before then, of course, but we've even got a situation in an adjacent county, Sarasota County, regarding 9/11. Robert Mueller and James Comey both covered up evidence from the congressional committee investigating 9/11. We had a Saudi Arabian family connected to royalty that fled their home 2 weeks prior to 9/11. And after 9/11 happened, the neighbors in that gated, rich community called the FBI, and the FBI basically covered it up. They held it, the evidence secret from the committee in Congress and from the chairperson on the Senate Intelligence Committee, which was Bob Graham, former governor of Florida. I've met with him personally about
the government. The bottom line is the government is not afraid to to act against the people with impunity, because they know the people are all sheep and are not willing to stand up while these people trample all over our heads. And all we do is have conferences.
And well,
I didn't yield yet, but I will yield now.
I'd like to turn the floor back over to you. I just like to make a statement. When Mike has expressed some very valid concerns, those are what I'm hearing is what is the strategy when we use first. I didn't hear Charles say by force. I heard him say by whatever means necessary. So then it becomes what are those means that are available that are would not put us at harm. Okay, that are in fact, which is why building at our township level, in my opinion, organically, is so important in terms of security and one's person and property. We need to know if someone just gets snatched up off of the street and all of a sudden they've disappeared because they've got an action where, if the type of conspiracies exist at the level which you just shared, okay, when people have come forward with information to the FBI and any other agency, okay, that's quote-unquote the appropriate agency. I stay away from the word authority. But they've come forward and you see that this information is suppressed, then that your concern is, I think, a very, very valid concern and something that would need to be brought forth and discussed, strategizing how we, the people, would move forward. And make sure that everyone is safe, because I'm on Michigan, okay? And I do recognize, you talk about level of corruption going, I mean, people are still looking for Jimmy Hoffa in certain circles. So I recognize what you're saying, and especially in terms of the language used. But it is a position of us strategizing to what is the action or reaction. If this, then that. Just like what do you used to do in geometry? Proofs. You know, if this, then that. If this action, then that. And be prepared for this action and how far then are we willing to go. And that's why I discussed earlier, I'd like Charles to talk about the power of a jury verdict, whether ignored or not. So I just wanted to make that statement, and then I would like to yield the floor back over to you to conclude your statement.
Yeah, thank you. And if I misquoted Charles, I deeply apologize. I didn't mean to. I just was addressing
Michael, may I? Lewis, apparently, I think you were there. I think Michael had it correctly. I believe I said with whatever force is necessary. And that's what
and
I intended to say. Okay, well, maybe I misspoke.
If I was in error, my apologies, no issue.
Okay, well, you're on solid ground, Michael. Please proceed.
Okay, and then when Abe interjected, I appreciate his concern and his feelings and his point. I definitely agree that the government just does whatever they want. However, just to conclude, you know, we have a situation last week where I was being told by tyrannical deputies that I could not record. Fortunately, the sheriff walked in and we were able to confront the sheriff and the attorney simultaneously in the same room with deputies threatening to arrest if we did not stop. So we were able to force the issue by force because we were in the proximity of both sheriff and county attorney. That was a perfect storm, you know. That was a perfect ideal situation. But
sure. That
is rare. And what we need to figure out, and I know making noise, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, is one way to do it, you know. So I'm just concerned that, you know, we want to stay lawful, peaceful, as long as we can and in order according to our Constitution. And when I hear, you know, efforts could be made to forcibly remove someone from office, I would like to know the strategy in mind to do that would adhere to the Constitution and the law and what would be the means by which we would achieve that, because that is our goal. These people must be removed, but we must
if
do
I may.
It honorably and lawfully. I yield.
If Thank I may. Abraham Nevada. Me and Charles spoke about this at length. The way to do this, and it is very simple, because once you extend the offer to all of the people in the establishment, a good portion of them do have the right heart, but they're stuck in a bad system. So that means you're going to get a percentage of a conversion rate over to, I guess you would say, the good side. And then you then hash it out. So the people who are in the establishment that convert over to the good side, they'll take out the bad guys because they realize what they got into government to begin with. What is it, Mr. Smith goes to Washington? He starts out good. And before he realizes it, the entire system is corrupt. There's a lot of people in the establishment that have good intentions, that started with good intentions, that realize it's going completely astray. And you can get an excellent conversion factor of people who, once they see the traction this thing develops, they will convert over, and they will help convert the other ones that don't want to convert over. And once they realize the ones that are really the problem child, they will assemble, and they will take the responsibility into their hands once they know they have popular support of the people, that they have the righteous position to do so, and it's all grounded in true law. This is simpler than people think.
Thank you, Abraham. If I might also, to build on what Abraham said a little bit there, Michael, and everybody, the precinct level jurisdiction, the vacant office of the Justice of the Peace, that is a general jurisdiction judicial officer. Okay, especially Oregon, but many state statutes contain provisions about the authority of judicial officers and the courts that they represent from the precinct jurisdiction. And everything above at the precinct level and above in terms of government in common law jurisdiction is an assembly of judicial officers, and they just follow the rules of the common law at all higher levels to make sure everybody's following the rules of the common law and nobody's breaching the peace and everybody's respecting their jurisdictions. And the Oregon statutes especially describe this judicial power as it only gets invoked once somebody's filed a complaint. But once somebody's filed a complaint before the court, that empowers the judicial officer to quote, roughly quoting, to command the obedience of everyone associated with that case in every matter associated therewith. That's, end quote, real close, exact, close to exact quote. And so once there's been any kind of complaint before your county commissioners or anything filed in before any one of your people that are willing to step into the vacant office of any of the precincts in your county, at that point that county level justice of the peace judicial officer has the authority to say, wait a second, you guys are just executive officers, I'm a judicial officer. And it'd be real good to research the Florida statutes on this. I think they may be worded similarly, that judicial officers have the authority to command the obedience of executive officers. They're above them. And that goes anywhere and does anything, because once there's a case associated with the authority of the judicial officer, all the other judicial officers have to back off and respect that, or else tell the judicial officer that he's acting beyond the limits of his constitutionally lawful jurisdiction. And they almost never do that. So I would emphasize in pursuit of the answer to your question there, Michael, that if you can get people to step into the offices of your precinct-level jurisdiction judicial officers, justice of the peace officers, at that point you're in higher position of authority to talk to all those executive officers and the county commissioners and the county attorney and start barking orders at them, telling them what to do, because the interest of justice requires this. I yield.
If I may, Lewis, Michigan. Mike, I think that was very good subject matter, very good discussion, very valid concerns. And I also wanted to welcome, I didn't interrupt while we were just joined by another caller. Didn't want to, again, interrupt the flow of thought. But greetings, David of Michigan. Good to see you. And with that, I yield the floor.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep, sorry I'm late. I've been working on something all day today, and I just noticed the time. I'm an hour and a half late. Okay. Thank you.
Abraham Nevada, if nobody else is going to speak. Addressing the point where the fella Mike in Florida and Charles mentioned earlier that they have to obey the commands of the judicial officer, all of those executive officers within the presence of that judicial officer. Charles, what is the name of that particular judge that commands the 100-man army or the 1,000-man army?
Well, at the precinct level, it's the 100-man army, and it would be the justice of the peace of the precinct.
You said something about a county judge commanding the 1,000-man army?
Yes, yes. And in fact, the office of county judge is a more recent invention. If you look back to the ancient roots, the office of the sheriff was actually also a judicial and executive office combined. And so they're under modern county sheriffs carrying on the peer common law tradition. They're not just executive officers. They also have authority to command the county court and to lead basically the 1,000-man army, the Posse Comitatus.
Okay, so then does that mean that while you're in the courtroom housing and you are assembling your jurisdiction and you have all your ducks lined up, all your rank and file in place, you have your qualified electors as your people from the community, you have your justices of the peace representing the town constables, and they're all there in force, you could have a posse arrest anyone that does not comply.
Right. The proposition can be worded much more friendly. I think some of what you said earlier, Abraham, was talking about how it could be done more peacefully, and I detect that that's what Michael is seeking here too.
Well, absolutely. For those nut jobs that do not want to give up all their perks and they have access to all those CAFR accounts, and they certainly don't want to lose out on their millions of dollars of thievery over the years because they developed a real nice nest pile and they're willing to die for it, those devils are not coming out peacefully.
Okay, well, if I might, the tradition of the jury is to reflect, quote, the conscience of the community, unquote. And so like in a county commissioner's meeting, if that's where the confrontation is happening, and there's one particular, maybe chief county commissioner or something, that's just really entrenched and he's not going to budge. When our people have the option of having 3 or 5 minutes in front of the county commissioners to talk about these things, at that point, if there's a judicial officer there, he can move to expand the narrow time limit to discuss the issues, and the consensus of everybody in the room. I dare suggest that if we play our cards correctly, we can get the consensus of just about everybody in the room and most of the commissioners, and we can have such a high percentage, 90%, probably 98, 99, right down to the last person. We can continue hammering away to where we won't have to make an arrest and forcibly remove anybody. They should be able to be shamed into just stepping down without the necessity of actually resorting to force. I think they could be shamed into stepping down in 99% of the cases there. I yield.
Michael, any comments?
Yes, may I? This is Mike in Florida. Let me just back up. I did like the comment just made that force might not be necessary, hopefully. the shaming will be the force that removes them. And I agree with that completely. I think the theater of public opinion, the court of public opinion, has a very strong power that can manipulate, you know, decision making. And I think that's what happened 2 weeks ago in our county commission meeting when they reversed course on mandating masks for public buildings in Charlotte County, and also with the confrontation with the sheriff. It is an election year, and he is being challenged by a citizen activist. So when he was confronted with cameras, recording equipment, two of us, he was forced to do the right thing. I hope, though, that the decision to do the right thing was more than just, you know, the court of public opinion watching him. I hope it was his heart being persuaded to do the right thing. We really don't know yet the answer to that question. I would like to believe that it was his heart that made him decide, but there is power in shaming someone if they do the wrong thing. So I really like that comment. And finally, in conclusion, I would like to just make a remark about what took place earlier. My associate here in Charlotte County, John, was on the call, and he was inquiring about how he could learn more about the county precincts. It was said that, you know, just call Charles. The number is available in the email. And that is something that we really need to encourage, is fellowship and camaraderie among activists. On the Thursday night national call, there just seems to be too much control, too much top-down control over, you know, whose email is released, whose phone number is released. I've been attempting for months to communicate with Paul or Destry, and I have done this repeatedly on the call and in emails, and I have yet to receive a response back or a phone number or an email that I could communicate with those up in Michigan, Paul or Destry up in Alaska. So,
hey, Mike, I am a resounding agreement with you on that one, and I hope that our forum, our conferences are living, dynamic, you know, and extremely very, you know, able to be able to have everyone involved and mixed in with it in the most dynamic form possible, because I've been on so many of these conferences that are so dead weight and just a waste of absolute time.
Abraham,
that's right.
If I may, thank you very much for your comment, and I so appreciate your energy, but please, I just wanted to allow Mike to go ahead and his statement, so anyone else, we can open the floor. You can immediately follow, then we'll open the floor.
Oh, I'd love to hear what Mike has to say.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate Abe's comments, too, but I guess we do need to maintain our order. Robert's rules soft. But anyways, I do appreciate your comments, Abe. Just in conclusion, the communications among us needs to increase and not be under tight control. This has been a problem with several of these conference calls, not just the Thursday night. And I appreciate Roger's efforts and work, and Destry and Paul and Andrew up there. I just am giving some concerned advice and admonition in that area. That's all. Thank you, and I yield.
Thank you. Abraham, you've got the floor.
No, I think I made clear how I feel. It's just that he's absolutely correct. On almost all the conferences I've been on, there's just such a static death attached to all of them. They might as well just have the conference in a spiderweb factory. It's just not going anywhere. There's nothing living in it. And in order to get the integration of the people involved and ignited and possessed and impassioned, there has to be congruence. There has to be interactivity. There has to be connectivity. Without that, you got a bunch of grandmothers in a sewing circle.
Thank you, sir. I believe if you yield, it was that Charles?
Yeah, absolutely yield.
It was Scotty, if I may.
Hey, Scotty.
Yeah, I'd like to actually like to agree with several. It started with Charles, but it's not only the their embarrassment. There's also when they know that the gig is up, where they got an order from the inside, or they just know from the looks of the people's eyes that, and because we're getting closer and closer to the actual hangings, and it's going to become readily apparent very soon. So it's really simply escort them out of the building. It's been done in Sweden. It's been done in. You just escort them out of the building, and they know they are not coming back in the building.
Hey Scott. What was that? What was that? The country, the Norwegian country, or that country up north, Greenland or Iceland, where they went in and just took out all the executive officers of government and marched them into the street and put them in jail.
Yeah, well, some of them didn't even have to go into jail. It's just that you need the first of all, they're taking over vacant seats anyway, and it's all coming from they're all looking at each other. They're used to taking orders, and we're getting to the point where not only are the nurses waking up, but the military are waking up too. And I don't know if you're aware of the HB 7120 passed on a Thursday about 2 weeks ago, which gives really the UN global police force to have carte blanche. So through this fake psyops of all this Black Lives Matter with defund the police, they really, now, I mean, if you look at the staggering, I mean, the mega military precision and the funding and the orders carried out in every city at the same minute, and I mean, this is just beyond, you know. And the sleepers aren't sleepers. They are in on it. They're getting paid. They're getting compensated. They're getting protected. But when somebody, honest people, get involved, it doesn't even matter how many there are. They know the gig is up. It's just that they know, oh, shit, we're done. And they know their friends will hold them accountable. The police, the military, it's all a family club thing. And they're all forced, what's his name said, the flat earth dude. Their hands were tied. It's coming to the point where these police are now really going to truly lose their immunity. If they get defunded, they're not a police anymore. And I don't know what's going to happen with the UN police. It's also in 146 countries, also, but they actually can now be held accountable. They're going to lose their immunity. And then you got to get the bigger picture. This is cosmic. They're doing this because they know the Earth is going through changes. It's their last chance to retain control. Their weapons are useless against what's in our skies, people. The time is coming down to you have to be right with yourself. You're not going to fool yourself. All these dirtbags are trying to fool themselves. That's in the ether. They can fool the people that watch the televisions. They can't fool the ether. They can't control the mega powers of the Earth and the universe. And it is end game. And if they, that's what I do. I'm trying to wake up the dirty police that attacked me for well over a decade. I know what they're going to get. There's nobody's fooling anybody except the TV watchers. It is cosmic revolution. You either get your vibration right or you're going to regret it for eternity. We are eternal beings, and these dirtbags are sacrificing their eternal beingness, their being a god, for whatever power or money or control. This is end game, people. You have your heart in the right place, and anything can change at any moment, and the biggest dirtbag in the world can turn around and save his whole country. So just remain positive. This is bigger than us, and their days are done, whether it's done because we try to lock them up or because the universe sends them into something that the hell's fires are going to be like the Jackie Gleason suite at the Plaza Hotel. That's what these people are going to get, and they've earned it, each and every one, individually, by their choice. So we're just giving them a choice to save themselves, their eternalness, to save nature. We're giving them an out. These cops don't have an out. These military people don't have an out. They are forced to take...
With that, Scott, if I may, thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you, sir. Because and the reason being, it's 6:40. I want some other anyone to reply to anything that's been heard thus far. But as everyone saw on the invite, it was originally from 5 to 7. However, the room can stay open beyond 7 for anyone that wanted, for those that wanted some additional communication. I wanted to get back to Charles. First, I want to open the floor to anyone to respond to anything that Scott has just shared. And then I'd like to yield the floor back over to Charles so we can make any statement. We may be able to have an open floor period of the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I don't know. I would leave that up to Charles.
This is Abraham, Nevada. I would like to address Scott. I want everybody to know.
Go ahead, Abraham.
I know Scott for quite some time. I know his personal story quite a bit, and we've spoken a few times. And he's got excellent depth of character. He's a lot of fortitude and a hell of a lot of fight. Hey, Scott, you're out of Queens, aren't you? Scott.
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm in the hood. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Of you can't believe what I go through. I'm fighting with the pastors at the food banks.
Well, hold on. We got to get the conference resolved before we can go on to individual talk. So, yeah, Lewis, I wanted to mention that we should keep the line open for another 10 hours.
If you want to, that's fine. I won't be on the line. Once my wife starts looking at me hard, believe me, rules change. And I allocated 2 hours.
The people have a lot of work to do. The people have a lot of work to do, Lewis. So we can't.
They do. They do. And I don't want to limit this to 2 hours. So if Charles would like to, stay in and do a Q&A, that's not, we could end the recording at 2 hours. So that's why I wanted to kind of keep a bit of structure on this section. And then we could go from there. But, I appreciate everything that Scott shared. So thank you, Scott. And Abraham, is there anything?
I have a question.
Okay, one moment, Nancy. Abraham, okay. Have you concluded?
I yield. No, I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Nancy?
A while back, I was reading something that said that there was a procedure that you could use to go to the provost marshal and the sheriff to get officers that were elected removed.
Mm-hmm. Very good
and
question.
I was wondering if anyone's heard of that. And it's got something to do with, I think, the notice of fault and opt to cure with the notorial protest.
Would anyone care to comment on Nancy's question?
Did she get that with Beacon 37? Because Jim Wright was circulating that quite heavily.
No, I was reading a document, an old one, from Winston Schrout, and he had mentioned things that didn't make sense. So when I started looking it up, I also found that there was something to do with we could do our jury, and somehow it had to do with a jury. We did a jury, we did a trial, we did a jury, and then we took our documents to the sheriff and the provost general, but we also had to do the admin process and the notice of fault not to cure, and because it wasn't just a 5-minute thing. And I was just wondering if anybody had any more information on that. Because when it comes to force, I know that happens, but, like, when that takes place, a lot of people, you know, they run away. So it would have to be something that was organized. Otherwise, it's like a riot.
And if I may respond to that, Nancy, just sharing with you, yes, I have heard that. And to respond to Abraham's concern, no, that was not Beacon 37. The group that you're referring to, or others have referred to on this call as the National Assembly Group with Destry and Roger, actually originated, as I'm aware, with a group here in Michigan. I happen to be involved with that group prior to their current form, which took place, I believe, in 2013. Anyone on the call that's a member of that group can correct me if I am in error. What I want to say is this, and then I'll open the floor, is the group that originally formed and that this current group came out of actually formed in late December of 2010 and stayed pretty much in operation up into about 2013 and are still in operation with very limited membership. That was discussed. So yes, to answer your question, yes. Not only was it discussed, the strategy was put in place. Yes, I've heard the same thing with regard to the responsibilities of the provost marshal. We did quite a bit of research regarding the relationship of the federal agency, DHS, and the provost marshal here. There had been some attempts to reach out and communicate. There had been some appointments put in place with some other entities here on Michigan, including Michigan State Police, provost marshal, several sheriff's departments regarding specifically what you were speaking of. And then due to, in my opinion, inner turmoil, things shattered. So to answer your question, this was 2011 through 2013, so at that time I had never heard of Jim Wright. And yes, what you are discussing here on Michigan has been a concern because our relationship to the Great Lakes and the federal entities claim with their jurisdiction, and because of the Great Lakes and us being positioned with international waters, the DHS agency takes a lot of liberties here, okay, because they put things, claims, and they've enacted statutes and legislation that go, 150 miles inland of international waters. Well, that puts Michigan at a problem. So yes, what you are discussing had been discussed. It had been researched at great length. There had already been attempts to reach out and communicate. Some communication was received, others was not. And then because of a splintering, there was never actually a following through of everything, including engagement with the entities and agencies such as the Michigan State Police, Department of Homeland Security, and various sheriffs throughout the state of Michigan. With that, I yield.
Okay, Abraham, Nevada. Lewis, a point of correction. I was associated with Beacon 37 many, many, many years ago, probably before you got on with them. And unequivocally, absolute certainty, with my own ears, I heard on conference Jim Wright hammering on the provost marshal for multiple sessions about how the provost marshal can be used and brought in under certain conditions and criteria, that would be an excellent move to use. Perhaps you hadn't heard.
No, if I may, Abraham, just to clear up, we are not at conflict. You most certainly were involved with the Beacon 37 group prior to me. It was David of Michigan that even introduced me to the Beacon 37 group, and that was just a bit over. I can tell you the exact date and time that occurred. What I'm stating is back in 2011, 2012, and 2013. There were efforts in not only researching this matter, but actually making contact, just as they're doing down in Florida. and making appointments to engage and interact with these other agencies. And they included several sheriff's departments here in Michigan. The Michigan
I understand
police.
That. You mentioned that. But you yielded.
Okay.
And I hadn't yielded yet, so you just beat me in the head.
Oh, no. I didn't interrupt. What I was the only thing I was stating is just when you said point of correction, I stated it was before I was familiar with Jim Wright.
Oh, okay.
That's what I stated. I yield.
Okay, that's fine. But I remember Jim Wright talking about the provost marshal quite extensively. That's all I wanted to reiterate. That's all. Okay, whoever wanted to go ahead and jump in, I'm good.
Yeah, it's Mike in Florida. Thank you. I think we really need to make a point of order right here, and I was going to do it earlier when Nancy got on. She identified her name but not her state, and I think it's very important that we maintain – you know, our Robert's rules of soft and do the best that we can when conducting communications. If we don't, then we just kind of go down the trail of confusion and chaos and disruptions. And I think this has been a great call. I'm glad that I was invited on it. But I would like to really admonish us to try to hone our skills in Robert's Rules Soft and respect everybody so that everybody gets heard and gets, you know, to say what they need to say. But I would like to, for the record, hear Nancy identify her state. I yield. Thank you.
Nancy, would you like to? Go ahead. Okay. Apologies if I was speaking at the same time. Michael, did you hear that?
No, I didn't. It was cut off there. I missed it.
Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it that time. Thank you, Nancy, very much.
Sorry.
Regarding the use of, if I may, regarding the use of Soft Robert's Rules, I would like Charles to address the format of the call. I think that at the beginning of the call, some may have joined late, that this call would be conducted more in a roundtable discussion as opposed to a lectured mode. And Robert's Rules, I'd like to yield to the facilitator of this particular call, as I am simply a board operator. Charles?
Thank you, Lewis. I've studied Robert's Rules, and one of the copies of the text that I received there indicated that the Robert's Rules of Order are founded in common law, and so there is a foundation of common law due process in Robert's Rules of Order, and inherently, common law due process requires rules of order, but I'm apprehensive about too strongly embracing formal Robert's Rules. I think somebody might have mentioned a soft version of Robert's Rules or something. That kind of sounds good to me. That talking about points of order and things like that's good, because if things are completely taking us off base of what the purpose of the discussion is, that needs to be alerted and that needs to be prioritized. But I like to think in terms of the old English common law, where the person that's in charge of the court, the chief judicial officer, he's there because he's accountable to the people, and he's elected because he's the best, he's the most talented person at facilitating group harmony building, mutual respect building. And as long as that's happening, as long as we're taking regular breaks to vibes check to make sure nobody's unfairly dominating the conversation, nobody's being indulged like a spoiled brat or something, I think a responsible moderator and leader can prune conversation when it gets out of line, but otherwise allow a very nice, pleasant volume of liberty within the formal courtroom type setting for people to talk about issues of current relevance to the predicament, the problems that we're facing here. And of course, in formal due process of law, it's all in response to an individual criminal complaint. And I do visualize us facilitating national level criminal complaints like the 911 thing that Michael's talking about. We can form common law juries verdicts in response to that in very quick and efficient manners. But to the issue of Robert's rules and how much structure we're providing, when we don't have a formal case that's on the court agenda to be adjudicating, then the discussion is inherently more liberal and has less focus. And so it's difficult to impose directly common law due process there. And I'm a little bit apprehensive about being too strict with the Roberts Rules of Order. But generally speaking, Roberts Rules is a good system. It clearly professes to be founded upon common law, at least scholars talking about it do. And so they're under, I'm not inherently opposed to embracing Robert's Rules of Order. If people want to make points of discussion about Robert's Rules of Order when the conferences are unfolding, I think they should be heard. We're free to disregard them if we can be justified in disregarding them in specific instances. But generally, Robert's Rules of Order is a good thing, and I think as a matter of formality, it probably would be a good thing to formally embrace Robert's Rules of Order. I yield.
If I may, Abraham Nevada, I want to make it quite clear that I absolutely can't stand Robert's Rules of Order. I wish Robert would have died with his rules, okay? Because it does not allow for spontaneous conversation. As long as you got people who got a little bit of a brain between their ears, they can know how to make spaces for people to interact in conversation. Because Robert Rules of Order absolutely kills spontaneous conversation, and the conversation would take on much greater life if there was more interactivity in it, so people can speak freely without losing control. But Robert Rules of Order for these kinds of conferences are absolutely stagnant, and I think they should be burned to death. That's just my opinion.
May I respond to that, Brother Abraham? your premise was on when people got some kind of common sense or brain between your ears or something like that. This is the problem. Some people are either obliviously ignorant and they don't have any respect, or a whole different category. We've got actual subversives in this movement that are purposefully disrupting. And unless you have some type of formal structure similar to Robert's Rules, then you're going to be looked like an arbitrary tyrant. Just because you're kicking out the people that you don't like and you're not kicking out the people that you do like. But with Robert's Rules there under, you can point to the rules that the subversives or the ignorant people are violating, and there under you gain the leadership gains color of legitimacy, because it's not just them being a dictator. There's a formally recognized rule that the goofball is violating that they need to be shut down.
Okay, Charles, I agree with you 100%. But as long as you're in control of the board, you're Commander Robert. Because if anybody goes over like 2 minutes or 1 minute of interacting, just push the button and shut him up. You give him one warning, he doesn't shut up, you push the button and mute him. That's all. But you allow everybody to interact.
Right.
If I may.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Lewis, yeah.
Charles, you know that I abhor Robert's rules just as much as Abraham. I just am not as verbal. However, I do like some type of structure. And I believe that if you want to call them, you know, when one gets into debates about what the label is it a soft Roberts rules? Is it this, that, or the other? That matters not. What matters is the rules that we put in place for some type of communication moving forward, and the name Roberts does not need to be attached. So if there needs to be some separate call between now and our next call, that for those that are concerned with the structure and you know the ability to communicate and facilitate on this call, come up
very good
schedule a different
very
call.
Good, Lewis.
Comes up with a limited. It needs to fit on one page. I'm telling you right now, if it goes to two pages, it's too much.
Not one paragraph. Not even a page. One paragraph.
Okay, that's how I see it. I can contribute, just a foundational to that, because we need to keep it limited to allow for the dialogue that Abraham was speaking of, because we cannot have stifled communication. That does not only stifle communication, it stifles creativity. It really does.
The fellow in Florida is a perfect example. He said he waited for weeks or months and didn't get no response, couldn't interact, and you know, I was on a call with the State's Assembly the other day.
Abraham, you know this call is recorded and it's going to be used. And this type of thing is going to be one of the things that we're going to put in place to prohibit interjection when someone else actually had the floor. And I'm just using that as an example, because that's going to be one. And if we can just limit certain things, we will not have to have a page. We really won't. We can do it in a paragraph. What's a paragraph? 4 to 6 sentences? Okay, I agree with that. Yeah. So with that I yield. It's 7:02. I'd like to yield the floor to first anyone that had any response to that my statement.
May I?
And we will. And just after these statements, I will then yield the floor to Charles to do a wrap up. I then would like to conclude the recording, but we could keep the conference room open for further discussion if that's what the people would like. So with that, I yield.
This is Nikki in Pennsylvania.
No, we go Nikki in Pennsylvania, and then we'll go. I think that was Mike in Florida.
Yes, I yield to the lady. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is Nikki in Pennsylvania. And a few years ago, I had done some talks about conflict resolution, and I went ahead and I posted those links in the chat area there, skills buildings for mediators, and jurist orientation as far as recognizing undue influence, and a bit of history as far as the colonial background and just, you know, what this is all about, basically. So anyhow, it is for training, not training necessarily, but opening the eyes to the people in your community. You may want to share it, you know, take a look, and if you do, they're there for your, you know, at your disposal. And also, regarding Jimmy Hoffa, you mentioned Jimmy Hoffa. It just so happens, okay, back in the mid-90s, this man walked up to me and he said, "You know what happened to Jimmy Hoffa?" And I said, "Oh, I've heard some rumors." And he said that he was living in Bayonne, New Jersey at the time. And what it was is that Jimmy was taken to Bayonne, New Jersey, and he was put through a grinder to grind up, metal objects. And that is chum to the fish in, the Hudson River. So just to let you know, that was the word on the street, and this guy was shaking when he came up to tell me that. Why me? I don't know, but just put it out there.
Interesting.
Yes, it really was. But anyhow, as far as that goes, and also on SlideShare, I have some more things as far as conflict resolution and things like that. So I put the links there for you, and you can share them as you will. And with that, I yield. Thank you. And thank you, Charles.
Okay.
Good to hear you, David. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Nikki. I did see those links. Hopefully they will be included in the summary of this call. And if so, I will share those links with everyone whose email I have who's attended this call. So therein lies the issue. So those that we have email addresses for, the links that Nikki shared will go out. Regarding Jimmy Hoffa, I'm here on Detroit, and I know the exact Red Lobster that he disappeared from. It no longer stands, but I remember when they tore it down and why. And we've been hearing rumors for a number of years, and that is one as well. So, but I do appreciate you sharing. I appreciate you participating on tonight's call. And yes, the next member who was there, someone else who requested the floor.
Yeah, Mike.
I think Michael
from Florida.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just wanted to say, I was the one that brought up the issue of Robert's Rules Soft and the need to maintain it. However, I want to make this very clear. I am the last person that would ever want to stifle, vigorous free speech. But as we all know, order is very important, and that's all I'm trying to stress. And for example, someone tried to make point of error earlier, and that's a reason or a cause to abruptly interrupt the conversation by saying point of error or also point of order. Those two points are very timely and necessary to be addressed at that moment. I think if there is a vigorous comment, as I think it was the gentleman from Nevada, I forget, I hope I'm correct, but he said sometimes you need to just interject, and I totally agree with that. But we need to, as it was stated, we need to come up with one page or less of bullet points, how we do that. And when someone does make an emergency interjection, it needs to be, it needs to be a limited time because somebody did have the floor prior. But I am in agreement that sometimes to promote vigorous debate and dialogue, you do need to allow a spontaneous comment. So just with those remarks, I think this has been a great call, and I'm thankful for hearing it and participating, and I will remain on the call after this is over and look forward to it. I yield. Thank you.
Michael, there's a 10-hour minimum.
Okay.
No. Thank you very much for sharing your comment, Michael. I would yield to Charles at 7:08. We've done about 8 minutes over our a lot of time of 2 hours. For this particular call, I would yield to Charles for any final wrap-up, and then I'm going to end the recording. However, not the call. So the room will remain open. Charles, I yield.
Thank you, Lewis. And I want to affirm that everybody here that has spoken, we're building some good positive energies. The abuses, the 911, that our people have suffered, and it's coming worse at us with this coronavirus thing. We desperately need to get our house in order here and get some real traction in empowering our common people to address the evil that has happened in the past with 911 and going back in history. But right now, it's also similarly staring us in the face, and I'm delighted that we've got such a positive group of people that are cool-headed but still seriously concerned and highly motivated to confront this evil with all lawful remedy that is available at our fingertips. And so I think We're making real good progress here, and we do plan on hosting another similar conference, same time, same channel, next week. From there, I think it would be good to call for any real brief closing comment from anybody that has something real brief that they would like to share. If there's nothing, then we'll go ahead and let Lewis shut everything down. Anybody? Does anybody have any brief comment that they want to make before we shut down?
I have a question.
Well, if I may, this would be something that might be included in the recording. If it doesn't need to be in the recording, I will go ahead and end the recording, and then you could go ahead and proceed with your question or comment anyway. Is this
okay.
Something that anyone
I don't know. Why don't you decide?
Okay.
I just wanted to know if anyone ever came to any type of agreement or a decision to use the provost, not use the provost, or was it just the thing over the 150-mile rule?
If that question is directed towards me and the General Assembly that was in effect at that time through 2010 through 2013, we had strategized as to how we would address each of these agencies. Notices had been sent to each of these agencies. Appointments had been made with each of these agencies. I myself was assigned to speak with the Michigan State Police and whatever the female commander's name was at that time. And we strategized and made appointments as to how that would be done. That was my point of interaction. Others took other points of interaction. And that's what we'll need to do. Well, in my opinion, okay, strategizing with moving forward. However, that never actually occurred, to answer your question. Because
well, the reason... Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I yield.
The reason I was asking is because sometimes you have the right plan, it's just the wrong time.
No, that time wasn't implemented because of, in my opinion, now let me... preface everything I say with that, a self-implosion.
Stuff going on.
Self-implosion. That's I'll leave it at that.
Okay. It could be a long time because this is something that people would have to agree on. And it's okay to disagree. You can still work toward the common goal. Each one would have their own, like, detours and stuff. But if we could form an alliance is a group of people that are working together for a common goal. They're just not in agreement for real stuff. So sometimes it's the right place at the time because you also need the right people.
We're breaking up, but I believe that I think I heard you, and hopefully everyone else did. We're suffering some connection issues, but I agree. Okay, no, that's not. I mean, that's not us. That's an issue of the communication corporation.
Yeah.
So, was there anyone? But I'm in agreement with what you say. Sometimes it's not the right place. This may be the right time. This time things may align. And I would hope at our next meeting, one of the things that I'm going to suggest that Charles talks about is the 12 super states and how we might engage the corporation with limited numbers. So some of these other organizations, including some that I may be involved with, that are looking to gain a critical mass point of a certain percentage of the population, well, actually, there's a way that we can engage now without achieving critical mass. And perhaps that's something that we will discuss on our next call. So
okay.
Thank you, Nancy. Was there anyone
thank
else
you.
That wanted
yeah,
to...
Mike, Mike in,
go ahead, Mike.
Florida with Mike. Yeah, just briefly, I wanted to leave one comment, and that is a document we drafted on the anniversary of Magna Carta in June, this past June. We drafted a document, and it's on the county website, and I got a URL to point at it, so it makes it easy. The web address for that is declarationofemergency.com, declarationofemergency.com. It's a perspective on where we're at, what time is it, and how serious the situation is right now. I yield. Thank you.
Okay. I see that that's a part of your United Counties of America. That's something that I really like. That's dear to my heart. And why is that? Because those that know me know that I am all about the Wayne County General Assembly, and I believe in the powers of the counties of America. And I believe that America is made up of, some 3,140-some-odd counties, and each of those counties have the authority to make their own declarations and decisions. That's my personal thought based upon my research in the matter. But thank you. That's on screen right now, Mike, for all those to see that are doing any screen sharing, and thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, if nothing else, go ahead,
yeah,
Charles.
Go ahead and go ahead and put a wrap on it if you want to end the recording there, Lewis.
I will do it. That's what I wanted to do right now. Thank you. Thank everyone for participating on tonight's call. We've gone just about 15 minutes over, but I feel that I think with everyone else or things that have already been shared, that this has been a very good call. You may want to share this call with other like-minded people, and hopefully they will join us on the next call. I hope to hear everyone same place, same time next week. And with that, I'm going to end the recording.